Hi, LB. Welcome to the Retronix podcast.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So happy to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I've been writing for 11 years, and I mostly write characters who are over 40, both him and her. I don't write a lot of age gap. And I'm a big believer in second chances. So a lot of the background to my romances are a second chance at love over 40. People who've been divorced, they may have lost a spouse, or maybe they've never even found the one yet. So
I love this. I remember reading a couple of your books because I was turning 40 and I was like, oh, let's look up dates. Because you get to a point where you read so many 20-year-olds and you're like, yeah, I don't relate to it. And there's something you relate to it, but at the same time, like, no, I am in mid-40s now and I have like different things in my life that I actually look forward to. And there's expectations that the bar is a little bit higher than settling for a lot of red flags. You're like, so I find romances that are looking for older characters a little bit different. There's a little bit more maturity. I think second chances makes more sense there than like a chance when you're in your 20s.
Well, for me, the other side of that too is that as a writer, my children were starting to get into their 20s. And I just felt kind of creeped out, like writing stuff that they might do that I didn't want to know if they were doing. So I'm obviously older myself. And so I just was like, you know what? I'm just going to write this couple. The first couple I wrote, I was like, I'm going to write this couple that has sex in a minivan. And I had people who told me, like, no one's going to want to read about older people having sex in a minivan to like escape their children kind of thing. And I was like, I'm bent to differ. And I'm so glad because it really changed. My entire career changed when I chose to go only with the people in their 40s.
I think it makes it, I know a niche, the niches and the riches, as they say, but I think it makes it like millennials are getting older. Like we're readers. Like I was just had a conversation in a previous episode about how millennials, we were YA readers for a long time and how the publishing industry made us grow up to the romance space. And now we're getting older and like, I can't read YA. I used to read YA. I cannot understand like watching a 16-year-old make decisions like that. Okay. So it makes it more difference now to start looking for middle age and like accepting that we're middle age and accepting the fact that it's like our needs are very different than when we were just right out of school. Like we may have kids, we may have baggage, we may have gone to therapy, and we may be looking for things a little bit different. We're no longer toxic friend that we have this like situationship, or maybe even have a situationship. But I think books like yours gives you another aspect of it. What happens after divorce, or what happens after losing a husband or losing a wife, like what will look like. And so I thank you for writing this particular niche, and I hope more people would start writing because we're gonna
I agree with a lot of what you're saying too. I think that as we get older too, we just have different experiences. I'm not throwing any shade on like new adult. I mean, when you are in college and then you first graduate, there's a whole bunch of issues that you encounter in that first job, that first love, that first moving out of the house. But I just think that at 40 for me was a really pinnacle decade. A lot of stuff changed. And I just think that we kind of can sometimes have that phase where like we're starting over again. Sometimes you're getting a new job in your 40s. Sometimes you're ending a bad relationship. So I just think that we're always changing and we don't stop at 40, that's for sure. Or even 50, because I'm over 50 at this point, approaching towards 60. And I'm actually excited to start reading characters that are closer to 50 because so much happened then too.
Yes, I think like at 40, when I realized this, I didn't give a fuck about anything. I was like, I do not care what you think. And you know what? I'm going to go for the thing I wanted to go for because it doesn't really matter. Like, I think like in owning your life and owning your choices, like I'm like, I don't have kids. I'm child free by choice and I like my life the way it is. And I don't want to have a relationship and I'm actually fine with that. And that's a choice that I was able to, I think the confidence that I'm able to make that choice now, and it can change at any moment. But sure. that confidence comes through that entering that era where it's like, no, we're just like, we're okay with just being different. We're okay with our life choices and we're okay with making decisions for us that works for us.
Yeah. I think the other thing too for me is that actually happened to me. Like when I was 35, I went back to school. When I was 45, I wrote my first novel. So it's like, as things are always changing. And actually then when I was 50, I quit my day job to write full time. So, I mean, there's always things that are happening. And like you just said, like making decisions for yourself that really just fit what you want. I mean, I'm married. I have four children. I'm even a grandmother. But there's still ways that you kind of get lost in that and you have to do things for yourself. So, and that's why I write.
Yes, I love this. And I love the fact we're writing for all the characters. And I think the what we grew up watching was very different from what we're seeing now. Like, when you think about the Golden Girls, I'm like, I aspire to live in the Golden Girls community with my friends. Like, that's my aspiration. But obviously, TV made it seem like that space. But like, even looking back, I remember watching First Wives Club and be like, I aspire to be First Wives Club, like in my teenage years. And now I'm like, yeah, that's totally fine. Like, totally stand. When they're 40s, like, first wife, like, you don't marry again. Like, what is going on? And I think it's like, media is looking differently. We're looking different. We want to live longer, but we want to live a quality of life, a longer quality of life. And we're investing that time of, like, whatever that's going to look like for us. And we're getting healthier. That's the hope, that we're getting healthier.
Yeah. Well, I'm from the Gen X generation, and we are really a different crowd. And the biggest thing I think for us has been menopause. We're super bold about it because we were raised where nobody ever talked about anything that you're going to go through. And we're kind of mad. We're mad that we didn't know that this is what was going to happen to us. So, yeah, I mean, Golden Girls is such a good example because I'm like the same age as some of those women were in that show.
Yeah.
And I would hope this should look like that.
I thought you were in like early 20s, 49. Like,
I know, but those women looked ancient in that program. And I just think, I think that I think we're so much more informed now, like you said, too, about health, like making healthy choices for yourself physically, but also mentally, too. Like, we're not willing to take what people in the past took. So that's what I love. I mean, I love female empowerment. I really do. And I feel, and I'm, like I said, Gen X, I'm from that generation where, like, we were taught a certain way, but then as we got older, we were like, we're not doing that. We're not going to live our lives that way. So it's really exciting to put that in my characters.
Yeah, do you react to millennials? So I'm 81. And so now we're talking about hormones, perimenopause, getting that space. Like, it's pretty common. I used to talk to my friends about babies and like weddings and stuff. And now we're just like, okay, are you in the, which HRT are you? What are you planning? Are you in the GLP-1? Like, what are you doing? We're getting too. We're like, we don't want to suffer. And I think
generation
paved the way for us to be like, we don't want to suffer this.
Yeah.
And be more open to talk about it and be more open to have a conversation about, like, what the fuck is going on?
Exactly. Because I think whether you've had children or not, I mean, we've been cursed our whole lives with having a period. And then all of a sudden, it's like everything just goes out of whack.
Yeah.
And the sad part is it's not just for a little while. Like, it goes out of whack for like years.
And doctors don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Like, you're just like, I'm just like a petri dish or like a research thing. You know, Charlie, like, oh, this is what's working. Can you check this? I have PCOS and I'm happy to share that. And I'm going to see endocrinologist. The girl is like, hey, you might be perimenopause. So you kind of have to go to the gynecologist to check your hormones because you're already whacked from that early, from the past 30 years. And now we're just going to add another change.
Yep. Now we're just going to add another stage of torture.
Yeah. It's like,
it's fine. Apparently we grow out of it. I'm still not there yet.
It's like puberty. Like puberty.
Yes. It's almost as bad, I feel like.
Yeah.
Almost.
But that's the good news is that now we got a generation to talk about it. We got future generations who are very outspoken, who will talk about this, overshare the internet about it. And so we're not alone. So thank you for paving that way.
You're welcome. You're so welcome.
Awesome. All right. So let's talk about some Christmas recommendations. And I think Christmas romances are a great little treat because they allow you to escape from the terrible things and at the same time to have a little bit of holiday spirit, a little bit of romance, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. It's so great. So why did you decide to write a Christmas romance? And I think, you know, I've written a couple of Christmas romances.
Well,
so, you know,
the funny part is that I used to, but I don't as much now, but I used to hate Christmas. Like I said, mother of four, and I worked full time, and I was also writing all night long. And I just could not stand the holidays. I really couldn't. And then this was actually, I think this is my fourth year writing a Christmas book. So 4 years ago, it was April. And I like had this idea to write about like a really grumpy woman who hates Christmas. Mm-hmm. And again, I don't know why it was April. I'm pretty sure it was like, I know for a fact it was a palate cleanser though. I was like, I'm just going to write this silly little novella called Scrooge-ish about this woman who works for a department store and she just hates Christmas. And I love sort of like retellings of stories. So for Scrooge-ish, because in A Christmas Carol, you get the ghost of Christmas past, present, and future. This woman goes through three things. She has a reunion, which she meets her past, which is an old boyfriend. In the present, they hang out together, of course. And then she sees what the future could potentially be for her because she does have an ailing mother in the storyline. And I had so much fun writing that book. I was like, you know what? I'm going to write a Christmas book every year just for me, because I wasn't really sure. I wasn't really sure if people would like this book, and it did do really well. And I was so motivated that the following year in July, I wrote the next one. And then each year I've just written another. Actually, this year I have two Christmas books coming out. So All Fish is the probably the main one that you reached out about. But I also have one called The Holiday Post. So I feel like this year I had like a double dose of writing holiday books in like June, July, and August. So but I still love them. I don't know. They literally like bring me joy to the point that when I wrote Scrooge's, he was the grump. And then now when I wrote Elfish, she is all like loves Christmas and he's the one who can't stand. So I've changed myself as well.
I love that. So how did you get into Christmas fruit? I always ask this to any author who writes holiday books. How do you get into Christmas fruit while writing this in the middle of the summer or in the winter or like after the winter, after all the holiday luster? It's happening. Do you listen to music? Do you like have some seasonal traits or something related? How do you get into spirit to channel this energy?
Right then. I don't usually listen to the Christmas music in like the spring and summer. But yeah. like I told you, for Scrooge-ish, it's very much like a Christmas carol. So I just kind of took that storyline and I was like, how could I modernize it, I guess, in a sense. And then even the next book, which is ish, I mean, it was just the same thing. I just had like all these things that I had seen at Christmas time. And I was like, that's so romantic. It was such a great, that's so nice, like in a romance about the holidays. And then Grouch-ish, we were just talking about the 12 days of Christmas. The Grouch-ish actually takes place starting on the 26th and going to January 6th, which are the official 12 days of Christmas. And I used the 12 days of Christmas, the song, and then I just put all these modern twists, like her name is Pear. And so she's a partridge on a pear farm. And I just have other fun, like little quirky things that played off the song. So that's really it, is I just take something that's very Christmas related and then try to turn it around. For Elfish, which is coming out November 1st, in this case, he is very much like Scrooge. And I always think to myself, like, did Scrooge just change for one day? Like, he wakes up from seeing those ghosts and then he's all like, happy, Merry Christmas, everybody, makes amends. But does he stay that way? And so Elfish is kind of based on that. Like, how does this modern man who's very grinchy, very Scrooge-ish, how does he kind of change himself? And the one twist is that in A Christmas Carol, Ebenezer Scrooge, he never gets a girl. He lost the girl. That's part of his, like, visiting the past, is that he lost a girl. And so in Elfish, he's determined that he's not going to lose the girl. He's going to get her. So, yeah, I just use, like, something that's very Christmas-themed and just go from there with it.
I love this. I'm excited for reading Elfish, for sure. And the next one, The 12 Days of Christmas, because obviously January 6th is still the Epiphany. That's where we get the gifts. In Puerto Rico, we're supposed to get the gifts on the Trinidad and Mayo, which is the Three Kings Day. And then Santa Claus was supposed to give you a little bit of different things, like just like one or two things. But like the real gifts, because they're obviously the whole thing, the story is that the three kings visit Jesus and they bring all these gifts. And that's where the gifts come. It's not Santa Claus, but you know.
Right.
We Americanize things.
Well, that's just it too. So the second book in my series is Naughty-ish, and it's actually based on Nick.
Yeah.
Who kind of has like a slight hint that he might be St. Nicholas and related to the Santa Claus family. And that was a lot of fun too, because just putting in, you know, like the tradition is to put out your shoes and you get like a little something before the holiday actually starts and stuff. So, and then the holiday post, full on reference that this guy is Santa Claus and he's 50 and he gets stranded in a small town and he just is being a reluctant roommate with a woman. And that book was just so fun because, I mean, I wrote so many hints that he could be Santa without ever saying he's Santa Claus. So,
yes. And we love a good Santa Claus romance novel. That's a really big niche. Like, that's a niche that is within a niche that it's very popular. Like, there's a whole thing about getting on with Santa Claus.
Yes. I will totally admit that, like, a few years ago, I stumbled across a book, and that was it. Like, Santa Claus had come to visit this woman, and they came down that night. And I was like, this is awesome. Like, make Santa sexy as an older guy. And just, yeah. So I'm definitely about it now.
I love this. All right, so let's chat some book recommendations. What kind of books do you tend to read? Are you like a romance reader, or do you read other genres like nonfiction, thrillers, you name it?
Okay. I pretty much only read romance. I did go through a little bit of a phase where I read some thrillers, but I'm pretty particular because I don't really like the gore. I like more of the mystery behind the thriller, but I do very much read romance exclusively. And let's see, my current read right now, I am actually reading the other books in the Hideaway Harbor, which is where the Holiday Post is. That book is in that series. So I'm kind of inundated with Christmas books right now.
Yeah.
But I really love cowboy books. Oh, I wish I'm a city girl through and through, but like, I wish I could write a cowboy book because I love to read them so much.
I love this. Do you have any books to recommend our listeners to pick up?
Well, from Hideaway Harbor, which is the book where the Holiday Post is part of, I would recommend The Holiday Whoopee. That's the one that I just finished by Sarah L. Hudson. I loved this book. It was so fun, so packed with like cheesy Christmas stuff. But I told her I loved her sex scenes. They were like beautiful. So I highly recommend that. Between the Pines.
Amber Duncan, I think it is. I read that one. No, it's delightful.
Okay. I loved that one. That I felt like that was like my next cowboy one after, of course, reading Jessica Peterson, after, of course, reading Elsie Silver. So, yeah, that's probably like my most recent cowboy one that I read.
I love this. I finished reading Maggie Gates, Duststorm. That was really good. I think the second one is a rodeo. It's a little bit like you get the hint of what's going on in the second one. But it's a grumpy guy who's like, I'm 56. And she's like, happy-go-lucky, like, just no care in the world. He's like, I don't want you. And she's like, no, I'm still going to work here. And it's like this perfect match of grumpy sunshine. I think it's Duststorm. I think that's the one that I'm talking about.
Okay.
Downpour So, but yeah, Cover Roses are a delight to read as a city person through and through too. So, awesome. Sophie, tell us we can find you online.
Well, I'm old, so I'm mainly still on Facebook, but you can also find me on Instagram. I do have a website. It's just my name, so www.lbdumar.com. I'm pretty rarely on TikTok, I'll admit it, but I do go over there and like poke around. So, but Facebook's really the best place still to find me.
Awesome. Thank you, Alvi, for being on the show.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for having me. I love talking about Christmas, so this was super exciting.
Awesome. Thanks for listening to The What to Read Next. For more book lists, cozy reads, and library tips, visit the whattoreadnextblog.com. Your next great read might be waiting there.